Hi, everyone. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
And you're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser,
where we teach you to salon differently.
If you are still using a front desk in your salon, it may be time to future-proof your business with Aura Salonware. Aura allows you and your team to check clients out from any device. That means there's no need for a front desk or front desk overhead. What's even more amazing is that clients can check themselves out using the Aura app from their own device. With Aura Salonware, you can finally let technology streamline your business. Start removing your front desk today by visiting aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos.
So Sid is like our Instagram social media queen. She manages
Quinn.
She manages all of our accounts and more accounts to come. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. I think the only one we really don't do is like Twitter or X or whatever it's called now. But we're in Threads a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted...
Can't hurt.
I have an exciting topic that I want... I don't know why I'm so excited about this topic, but I've just been thinking about it a lot. There's so much information on social media out there that it can get a little bit like...
It's exhausting.
Nauseating. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about offline marketing because I think a lot of the problems that we have as salon owners and hairdressers that feel slow is that we forgot that we also can go talk to humans in the real world.
Okay, so for those of you that are maybe just listening, I teach all of our students and coaches how to streamline social media so it's simple, right? Like there is a benefit to scheduling and batching out content, right? For consistency purposes. But that still doesn't mean that you don't do the raw stuff where you're like, I'm just going to pop on and just post, right? Like, just going to talk to my audience. And also going outside, like making connections in the local businesses, like talking to real people. Like that was the only way we did things for
years? My whole business.
Yes. And then we were able to do it on social media too. But now, okay, so a few things. Now that we're back to being able to be within 5 feet of each other, like even though not everyone wants to be that close to someone else.
6 feet. Sid was breaking the rules by 5 feet.
But like get in there and talk to people like and do your social media. Like what are the perks of doing both?
Let's take a walk down memory lane. I think there's a better way to do in-person marketing. And we'll talk about that.
I'm walking down
memory lane. And it has like a hazy early 2000s
and it's
filter.
Almost like it feels like PTSD of throwing cards at people on the street and
going
to the mall.
So we're walking down memory lane. And all of you listening can walk down with us because I know that if you've been in the industry
picture
for at least
Brooklyn,
10 years.
2016.
So for at least 10 years, oh my gosh, maybe even longer in this industry. If you built a business offline before, I guarantee you, you're listening today and going, I've completely forgotten how to do that. And I hear people all the time go, I've been posting and I've been doing this and I can't get any clients. And I'm like, nothing will beat in-person marketing ever or offline marketing. So one of the things we used to do is, and I'm not saying you should do this now, I'm just saying we're walking down memory lane. We have PTSD from being told that we have to stand outside and hand out cards, which is so annoying, but worked.
It did work. I had people in my chair. They weren't my ideal clients. I had money in my checks.
It wasn't who you wanted to work with. It was money. It was people that needed a haircut because everyone needs a haircut. Everyone needs hair color. So we used to hand out cards. I used to do press packets where I would like, let's say if I worked in like a shopping mall or if the salon was near a shopping mall or if it was freestanding, if there were other businesses around, I would, you know, take a little packet of like, here's our info and here's our price list and here's my little bio. And I would give them this little press packet and I would usually give it to like big companies. I also did a lot of email marketing, which isn't offline, but it's not social media, but I used to like, I would email business owners in the area and be like, I want to do your hair for free. Come in. Let me do your hair. Let's talk. Let's hang out. And not only would I do their hair for free, I would also network with them. They usually would come back. They would tell people they worked with. I remember where you were told if you go to eat, like find wait staff.
Or leave a card in the
check. In your tip. Yeah. That was another one. But I remember being told by a mentor, like, okay, when you're out to eat and you see wait staff that's like young and beautiful and they have great hair, just like do their hair for free because they'll tell all the people that work at the restaurant, which, by the way, wasn't true, because usually when you're wait staff and you're working, your hair isn't in its fullest glory. Mm-mm. You know, so like no one's really asking them. But I did all those things and they did work. And I agree with you. Was everyone my ideal client? No. But when I needed money, did I care? No. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're kind of, social media is never going to go away. We always have to be good at it. We always have to keep learning. But there are some tried and true methods about being out in the world as a hairdresser.
I hear like a lot of people specialize, but like the reality is, and I've changed my, I literally was like a barber. I went from like barbering to just cutting to kind of texture to then being a color specialist to doing only fashion colors to then literally I'm only touching blondes and I don't cut hair at all anymore. Like you can change your specialty, but there's a lot of people coming out of school that want to specialize immediately. And I almost think like, yes, you can do that and be really successful at it. But then there's a lot of people that aren't successful at it and they're trying to fit in that mold, but they also don't know what they're good at or what they want to do. And right. There's this example of like, well, like social media is great, but also like, let's just get people in your chair. Like the whole point of becoming a hairdresser is having that like experimental era where like, you're like, what do I want? Who am I as an artist? Like, what do I really love doing? We might be very inspired by someone who's a cutting specialist and only uses a razor, but then come to find that like we freaking hate it, like and really are finding excitement over in this area. So it's really valuable, especially like coming straight out of school or being like, you know, new at the craft, of like really being like, what do I want to do and can I experience this? And like also getting used to talking to people is so powerful. And then that's where social media can come into play of really like creating a bigger audience and using your clients to build the platform. And naturally, I think as
social media, social media is a great follow-up, right? Like
yes.
You meet someone in public or you talk to someone at the bookstore or you talk to, you know, you introduce someone at a party and they say you're a hairdresser and like, oh my gosh, like here, follow me on Instagram. Instagram is like the business card, and it's more than a business card. It's a business card / website / booking engine / everything. And so the Instagram is important because people do look at that to see your skill and to make sure that you're current. There's nothing more appalling to me when someone goes, oh, follow me on Instagram. And I go to their Instagram. All the photos are low quality. They haven't posted in 6 months. You're like, there's something about that. They could be the greatest hairdresser in the world. And you're just like, like, I don't trust. They're not current in my mind. That's like what I think. Yeah. And the only reason I would know they're current is because I met them in person. But I do, you know, we do use Instagram to stalk and to look and to approve.
And gossip and cancel. And
do all of that.
Just, it's awful.
But I do think one of the biggest missing pieces to people that are struggling when times are slow is they don't go out into the world. They just go to social.
They just sit there.
They just sit there.
They do nothing and scroll. And I'm like, go outside, go talk to someone, post your pictures, get out of your chair, go get some coffee, make a connection.
I have gotten clients just by walking my dog around.
Yes.
And they love the dog. And then they mention the dog's hair is beautiful. And then somehow I chime in that I'm a hairdresser. And then it's kind of funny because my dog has good hair and I'm a hairdresser. And then they comment on their hair. And then we talk about their hair. And then they follow me on Instagram and they're a client.
Yep.
And that was from getting coffee in the morning by walking my dog.
I would say I talk to someone about their hair minimal, just on like daily tasks, like once a week. Like,
let's where give are you our doing listeners,
hair? Can I
let's
get
give
in
our
chair?
Listeners a challenge.
Homework time.
So if you are listening to this episode, whether in real time or 10 years from now, I want you for the next 7 days to talk to one person a day in real life about what you do. If you go and buy a book at the bookstore, comment on the person's hair, mention that you're a hairdresser, this is where you work. Just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to measure the results. You can if you want to. I don't actually care about the results. I want us all to get comfortable going back into the world again and talking to people. I do think the pandemic kind of fucked me up a little bit about connecting and talking to strangers and people in the world, and everyone kind of started keeping to themselves a little bit more, which is fine. But when you run a business, keeping to yourself isn't a beneficial tool.
Yeah, especially as you know, salon owners out there, like every business within like a half a mile radius should know who you are. Like you-
I will say this. So many people kind of give the local chamber of commerce in their area. They're like, mm-hmm. especially young people, mm-hmm. we don't think about it. It's not our first go-to. The chamber of commerce is so important. Huge. For every town and city and county. It is so vital to the growth of business because it's local people working with local people working with local people, which is when you're a hairdresser, that's what you're really needing. And the beauty of being a hairdresser or a salon owner and being part of the Chamber of Commerce is that every single person is a client. Mm-hmm. It's not just you're finding where you're supposed to market. You are the most marketable business in the Chamber
Everybody
of Commerce.
Everybody wants their hair done.
Everyone. The person that's helping you build your business through the Chamber is also a client, right? So the Chamber of Commerce is great. If you have not joined your local branch, make sure you look into it. Usually there's a small fee. You can host events. You can go to networking events. I recommend hosting stuff because then you can bring people to your business. But we don't, especially millennials, we don't really think of the Chamber that much. We think it's like a something for older people.
I'm like, do they even know who it is? Like what it is? Like, and I think
that's another challenge.
That's another challenge. To this, do some research.
Sign up for your local Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. But that's if you're not making friends with all these other business owners, even as an independent stylist or a commission stylist, like get in there. Like when you have those connections, think about it. Like when you've made a personal connection with someone, even if it's not like you're just always like, yeah, the wine shop down the street. Like, I know that one's closer to you, but you have to go see so-and-so and they have this. And, you know, like you're going to talk about it. You're going to promote it. Like you have to go to this salon. You have to go to that salon. And I think when we don't do these things and you just go in and look down at your phone and get your coffee or get your food or sit there quietly and we're not like stepping out of our box. I know we want some time off, but you're missing great opportunities to connect and bring people in your business.
I also want to say this to people that are maybe like me. Networking, don't confuse networking with friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is really important. When you go to a networking event, the goal is that you're not everyone's friend. Even though as hairdressers, we kind of naturally, I call it putting on our tap dancing shoes and we perform and we yeah. make everyone feel good and comfortable and safe. And then if you add being a minority or a gay, you know, a sexual minority or cultural minority on top of that, or being female, you add to that performance. It just kind of keeps adding and adding. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that unless you want to, but really don't get it confused in your head that you going to these events is about making new friends. If you make friends along the way, great. Maybe they're different types of friends. Maybe they're business type friends, which is a different category of friendship. But a lot of people are like, I don't really want to, you know, like get to know people and all that. If you want to have a thriving business, you need to know people. That doesn't mean you need to be friends. Mm-hmm. You don't
blur the few.
Sorry, did you guys hear that?
Was that a race car?
Yes. I live in New York City and there's race cars everywhere.
There was in Chicago, so.
But it's important to know that if you struggle with connecting with people, this industry is going to be really difficult because connecting with people is, I mean, it's really just the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And so finding places like the Chamber of Commerce and saying, okay, I'm going to go to these networking events. It's not about being friends with people. It's about being professional and letting people know that I'm here. That's really all networking is about, being known. It's not about being friends. Now, if you are friendly and you make friends or you make acquaintances, for me, it's always been a struggle of like, I don't want people to like want to hang out with me or think I'm their best friend. I want them to be my client, or I want to just network.
Mutual respect of we're all in it to help the community as a one big business grow. Like we're all in this together.
And I'm going to tell you all this as well. If you own a salon or if you work in a salon, you're trying to get clients, stop networking with hairdressers.
I know.
That's
I'm
not
like, wait a minute.
That's not how you make new clients. If you're trying to hire hairdressers, then yes, network with hairdressers. But if you're trying to get clients, be in the world promoting your business with people that are not hairdressers or salon owners. And now a word from our sponsors.
We at Destroy the Hairdresser, in a groundbreaking collaboration with health industry veterans, are bringing our listeners health plans that cover every professional in the beauty industry. This includes individuals, teams, and families. We are currently in the process of insuring thousands of beauty professionals in all 50 states. Healthcare benefits are now open, and guess what? There's no enrollment deadline. Sign up during any month of the year and gain health benefits quickly. Get your name on the list by visiting destroythehairdresser.com/hairdresserhealthcare.